Okay, congratulations. Welcome back. You made it. CD3 for Pete's sake. We're all the way through the basics and you're still standing. That has got to put you in the top 5% of America. And you're on your way. And now we're on to another big lesson. And today we're going to talk about credit. Now this stuff is going to be a little bit cut and dried, but it's so important that I really want you to pay attention and buckle down on this stuff. Credit, or what I call the magic wand of real estate. And this is, before we even start talking about banks and loans and all that, we really need to talk about that. And the reason is that credit is the number one criteria that banks look at before loaning. So before you're going to take all these great bank loans and buy all this great property that's going to make you rich, we have got to learn about the magic wand of real estate, which is good credit. In fact, a good credit score says open sesame to the bank vaults. In fact, nowadays, if your credit is good enough, you can buy properties with absolutely nothing down. That's right, nothing. The banks will loan you 100% of what you need to buy a property. And if it's good enough, if your credit's good enough, you're not even going to need a job. Did you catch that? Let me say it again. If your credit is good enough, the bank will loan you 100% of what you need, and you will not need a job. That was perfect for me because I didn't have a job. This, by the way, is called a no-doc or no-document stated income loan. In other words, the banks require no documents or proof that you have a job. They figure if your credit is that good, you would never lie. They trust you, and they figure you've earned that trust by paying people back whenever they extended you credit. So how important is good credit? Well, let me ask you this. If you could buy all the houses you wanted without pulling $1 out of your pocket, how much money could you make? The answer is infinity, and I'm going to show you how to do that. Believe me, I have seen a lot of people go from rags to riches in real estate just because they had great credit. Now, let me back up for a second. Let me also say this. I have also seen a lot more people with great credit who never built any wealth at all. Why? Because they didn't know what to do with it. Knowledge, my friends, is more powerful than good credit. And that's why I'm going to arm you with the knowledge of how to gain good credit. This is powerful stuff. And if you don't have good credit right now, don't worry about it. I'm going to show you a lot of ways to make a bunch of money with no credit. And I'm also going to show you how to build your credit quickly. This is important stuff, and that's why I included it. And I know a lot of you are thinking, oh man, Ernie, you're saying quickly, but you just don't know how bad my credit could be, man. It took years, right? Let me tell you something. I want to tell you this story. This is a good one. I dropped out of college after a few miserable semesters and went on the road to play rock and roll. A few years later, after coming to my senses, I was thinking about going back to college if they'd have me. So I'm sitting in the office of my student advisor, and she's going on and on about what it's going to take. And I realize, sheesh, this means I'm going to be 27 years old before I can graduate. She paused a minute, and she looked me in the eye, and she said, Ernie, you're going to be 27 someday anyhow. You might as well be 27 and have that degree. Well, that's all the convincing I needed. I went back to college, and now in hindsight, I think that degree, after that four-year degree, made me $750 in total. But you get my point. However long it takes you to build your credit, you're going to be that age anyways. And you might as well be the guy with the great credit. Am I right or am I right? Don't despair, folks. It will not take years. With any luck, we should have you up and borrowing in 6 months or less. How's that sound? So when should you get started? Well, when would now be a good time to start? All right, here's how it works. Like I always say, specific knowledge is power. And the credit game is no exception. By understanding how the system works, you can easily get your credit where it needs to be. This knowledge is so potentially powerful and vital to basic survival in American culture that I can't believe they don't teach this stuff in high school. I mean, think about it. All the time they spend trying to teach me how to be a good citizen in government class, why couldn't they have taken a few days out to try to teach me something this important? All right, let's start from the beginning. What is credit? What is credit? The dictionary defines credit as referring to someone's character or reputation or good standing. Basically, are they trustworthy? You see, people who loan you money or goods want to know that you are trustworthy. Will you pay them back? That's what they want to know. To answer this question, will you pay them back? The lenders or creditors look at your credit report. Now, what's a credit report? Well, simply, it's a report that tells all about your history of debt and your repayment of it, hopefully. This history is compiled and reported by what we call credit bureaus. Now, there are lots of bureaus, but there's only three main ones that mortgage lenders focus on. They're called Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion. These bureaus gather information sent to them by various creditors and government agencies. And let me just mention here that not all creditors report to the bureaus. Some that don't include utility companies, insurance companies, landlords, oil companies, and some medical providers. There are others, but for our purposes, you should just assume that everyone else does report to the credit agencies. So now, what am I telling you? Well, now you know if you're juggling payments and you want to put somebody off, put off the electric bill or your rent. Did I just say your rent? But never your credit card bill or your car loan or your mortgage. Do you understand what I'm saying? In other words, don't ever put off the guys who are reporting to the credit bureaus. Does that make sense? Never put off the guys who are reporting to the credit bureaus. Okay, you get the idea. Getting back to it, these credit bureaus compile all this information, put it onto a report, and then they assign it a score. Now, this score is called a Beacon score, and it can range from anywhere in the 400s up to, I think an 830 was the highest I ever saw. Probably goes higher, but I've never seen anyone higher. Anyways, these Beacon scores can make or break you with a bank. The banks look at your score, and if it's not high enough, they don't even want to talk to you. On the other hand, if it's like 660 or better, you can borrow money without even proving that you have a job, like I was saying. Whatever the case, the higher your score, the more borrowing power you have, and the better terms you're going to get. Okay, so what goes into these Beacon scores? How do they rate them? Well, there are several factors the credit bureaus consider. The first one is, do you pay your bills on time? On every credit report, the bureau will list all the credit accounts you ever had. They tell when the account was open, the original limit, the maximum credit line, the balance due now, and most importantly, how often were you late? Next to each account, they note how many times you were over 30 days late, how many times over 60 days late, how many times over 90 days late. Every time you go past one of those 30-day markers, your credit takes a ding. Bing! Now pay attention. Notice they do not list when you are 29 days late. You follow me. You see, you can make your payments late every month, but as long as you pay up by the 29th day, it doesn't hurt your credit. In fact, it helps your credit. Because why? Because it's marked as another on-time payment, even though you were 29 days late. How much do you think that little bit of information is worth to someone trying to build their credit? Huh? Okay, collections, the next item for consideration. And by the way, these are not in rank order. Different lenders may look at different things as being more or less important. But the next item we want to look at is collections. A collection occurs when you just don't pay at all. I'll give you a common example. Person maxes out their credit card, they can't pay, and the 18% interest starts kicking in. Maybe they make a minimum payment for a month or two, but they soon realize that they're never going to be able to catch up. So what do? They stop paying altogether. Well, in the meanwhile, the credit card company sends in the information. They say, okay, 30 days late, ding, 60 days late, ding, send it in 90 days late, ding, they're marking all this up, and then finally, they say the heck with it, and they send it over to a collection agency that says this guy's not paying at all. Now, it goes on your report at that point as a collection for whatever the amount is that you owe at that time. You get me? They're reporting every month and recording every sin, 30 days late, 60 days late, 90 days late, and finally, they report it as a collection. Now, let me give you one quick tip about collections. Medical collections are common, but are not considered as important by most lenders because they realize that doctor bills are high and unexpected in many cases. Hey, anybody can get sick and get a whopper of a bill that they can't pay. That is not as bad as accepting a loan with a promise to pay it back and then walking away. You see, that's intentional, and that's worse. If you've done that, don't sweat it. We're all sinners here, and I'll show you what to do in just a minute. Let's move now to public records, though. The next listing is taken from public records. It's on your report. Judgments are a big one here. In other words, if you got sued and the judge ruled against you, he put a judgment on there. This was always a problem for me because between my painting business and my beautiful and loving tenants, somebody was always unhappy and suing me. So you got to be careful about this stuff, because if you're going into the real estate business, you're going to make money. And people like to sue people with money. Did you know that? It's a sad but true story about human nature. But to solve this problem, I'll show you later how to protect your assets and keep your personal assets out of a harm's way. Meanwhile, public records are another thing that they list on your credit report. Okay, moving along. Inquiries. Another factor that bureaus consider when they consider your score are your inquiries for credit. In other words, how many times have you applied for credit in the recent past? Lots of applications for credit send up a red flag for creditors because they think it shows that you're desperate. Another problem for the lenders is, what if everybody you applied with said yes? See how the inquiries work? What if everybody you applied with said, yeah, you can have it? And now, and guess what? You're in debt up to your ears. This would make you a risky bet. Lenders are very concerned with the amount of debt you have compared with how much money you make. Too many inquiries means you might be heading into a bad debt-to-income ratio. Okay? Now, other factors that are included in your credit report are bankruptcies, liens, and wage garnishments. So all these factors are thrown onto your report, and the credit bureaus look at them and they assign a number, which we call a Beacon score. When you go for a loan, then, the bank considers this Beacon score reported by all three of the major bureaus. They are Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion. When the bank considers all three of these, it's this called a tri-merge, tri as in three. All three scores are considered, but generally, it's the middle score that they go by. This is the one that counts.